Come, Brother Taylor, take your liberty. Give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise, would you? He's the one that's worthy and deserving. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Well, it's good to be back in Truth Camp again this year. And just enjoyed it so much last year in the presence of the Lord, the fellowship, what God done around these altars, and the move of God that we have. And when we got the phone call that they wanted us to come back, I was just thrilled with joy that we was humbled that we got the invitation to come. And here we are again. It's hard to believe that 12 months have passed and we're here again. And I'm just hoping and praying and expecting God to do some great things in this meeting this week, aren't you? How many came with something that you need God to help you with this week? Come on, I know there's more of you than that. Just be honest. Brother Stephen, I come with a need that I need God to meet me in this place this week. Amen. Glory to God. Well, he can do that this week, and I feel like God's going to help us and move upon us and touch us. Amen. Through the singing, through the preaching of God's word. And we just so looking forward to being here. As I look at the crowd here, I look at this side, and I look over here at this side. I look back over here, and then, boys, we are outnumbered this year. Amen. What are we going to do about it? Amen. That means they're going to sing louder, worship louder. The Spirit of God gets to moving. They're going to dance harder. Because there's more of them than there are of us. Amen. But I believe when the Holy Ghost gets to moving, we see the Holy Ghost begin to reach in and grab some hearts and lives and begin to change some young people. You're not going to be able to decipher who's more, who's less. Who's worshiping harder and who's worshiping less. Amen. Because when the Holy Ghost comes by, you know what? I lose track of who's around me. I lose track of who's watching and who's not watching. Because it's not about you, but it's about me and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And if you want to sit there and let the Holy Ghost pass you by and miss out on a miracle, then that's your business. But let me tell you something. I didn't come all the way from California, amen, to Lufkin, Texas, to let somebody out worship me, out praise me, and get something out of this altar that I can get myself. Hallelujah. I know I come to preach to you, but I come to be talked to myself from the Holy Ghost. Somebody throw your hands in the air and say, Brother Stephen, I'm going to get what God has for me this week. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. Amen. What I feel like the Lord put upon my heart to preach to us tonight. But I want to do something a little different, if it's okay. And I know Brother Goodwin, these other pastors won't mind me doing this. I want everyone to stand. Just play softly, brother. I felt this in my spirit this afternoon. You're going to have to help Brother Stephen tonight. I'm going off of 45 minutes of sleep last night. Laid down just for a few minutes. Was in camp meeting last week. I preached the morning services of my home camp meeting. One of my best friends preached the night services, Brother Greg Atkins. You talk about a move of God. Watched our young people and even mamas and daddies that I've been working with there at my church fall in those altars to see God. Sunday night was one of those services that just topped the charts. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, we had a time. It was late when we got home and my wife fixed us something to eat. Then me and my boys began to pack. And by the time I went and laid down, I had 45 minutes. I had to get up again. quickest nap I've ever taken in my entire life. We got up and got around. We were supposed to have landed at 1:25 in Houston today, and I thought, well, I should be able to get there a few hours beforehand, get me some sleep, my body get some rest. Got to the Fresno airport an hour from my home before we took off, and coming to find out the flight was delayed. I sat there another hour and a half waiting for the next plane. Finally made it to Houston, landed at about, a little after 3, I guess. Hour and a half behind schedule. And they lost my son's luggage. Waited and waited and waited. My luggage come, my oldest son's luggage come, but Weston's luggage never showed. So they took us in the office and was there for 45 minutes filing out a claim, trying to figure out where it's at. They said, you should have it within 24 hours. I said, sir, I need it now. He said, well, I'm sorry, sir, but we'll inform you. Tired, my eyes were hurting, burning. You know how it is trying to sleep on an airplane. Went and found the car and drove down here, got here just an hour before service. But as I was ironing my clothes and praying, I felt the Holy Ghost begin to move. My flesh may be a little tired here tonight, but I feel some strength in my spirit. I feel like God's going to talk to somebody tonight. What I want to do on this opening night before we start service here this evening, before we go into the preaching, I want us, everyone, move to the center, and I want everyone to join hands with somebody. I don't want to break in this middle aisle. Is this okay, Brother Goodwin, pastors? I don't want to break in this middle aisle. I want us to bind together, because let me tell you something. The devil's going to fight this youth camp tooth and toenail this week. He's been fighting me all day long, messing with my nerves and messing with my mind and messing with my emotions, with everything that's been going. I was about in tears driving down the road. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me tonight. Called Brother Goodwin and told him what was going on. He said, sound like the devil ain't wanting you to get here. And I said, yes, sir, it's exactly right. But we're going to bind together. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I don't want to break in this middle aisle. I want you to join hands everywhere, all across this building. I do not want anyone without joining hands with somebody. Come on. Come on, I know we're taught. I'm sure they went over the rules. Boys, don't be touching the girls, but this is a little bit different. Can I just break the rule just for a few seconds here this evening? I don't want nobody not joining. We're going to join together. We're going to bind the devil in Jesus' name. We're going to proclaim victory. We're going to proclaim a breakthrough in the power of the Holy Ghost. We're going to bind indifferences, doctrinal indifferences, belief indifferences. Come on here. I know there's a lot of churches from a lot of different walks of life here tonight, but we're coming under one common ground, and that's the common ground that the blood of Jesus Christ saves from the guttermost to the uttermost, that he sent his sect, the comforter, that third person of the Trinity, to baptize each and every one of us in the Holy Ghost. We not be able to agree on doctrine and issues, but there's one thing we can agree on, pastors, and that's that I come for a move of God. I want to see some young people saved and delivered. I want to see some young people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, join hands. I want you to throw your head towards heaven and ask God to help us this week. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, I pray that you would bind every spirit from hell that would try its best to hinder the work of God in this place tonight. Lord, that you would let the power of the Holy Ghost sweep over this place, across every heart and every mind and every believer's mind and every young girl, every young boy. Lord, that you would give them a desire for you, a hunger for you, that they can take home to their home church and start a revolution, that we're going to take the world by storm. We're going to take our cities by storm. We're going to have a revival that hell cannot stop. Satan, I rebuke you and bind you in Jesus' name. This is our camp. This is our week. This is these young people's week to have a breakthrough like never before. Come on, every
Everyone throw your hands in the air and say, we will have a move of God. We will have revival. We will have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now put your hands together and give God a hand clap of praise. Come on, let it be a victory praise. Let the world hear it. Let hell hear it tonight. We are going through. I'm going over. I'm going to make up in my mind that this is my week for youth camp. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. You can go back to your place. Amen. While you're standing, help me sing this little song here tonight. Well, if you take a one step, he'll take two. There ain't no limit what God can do. He said, if you go, don't worry about yourself. All you've got to do is take one step. Well, if you take a one step, he'll take two. No, there ain't no limit what God can do. He said, if you go, don't worry about yourself. All you've got to do is take one step. If you believe it, sing it with me. If you take a one step, he'll take two. There ain't no limit what God can do. He said, if you go, don't worry about yourself. Well, all you've got to do is take, throw your hands in the air and say it. Well, if you take a one step, he'll take two. There ain't no limit what God can do. Cause he said, if you go, don't worry about yourself. Well, all you've got to do is take one step. Well, he sent Moses down to Egypt's land. Oh, with only a rod in his hand. But when things got hard, he said, stretch out your rod. All you've got to do is take one step. Well, if you take one step, he'll take two. No, there ain't no limit what God can do. Cause he said, if you just go, don't worry about yourself. Well, all you've got to do is take one step. So I'm going to walk on out in Jesus' name. Well, cause I've been falsely accused, but I'm not ashamed. You see, I've got faith in my God, a little faith in myself. And all I've got to do is take one step. Well, if you take one step, he'll take two. No, there ain't no limit what God can do. Well, he said, if you go, don't worry about yourself. Well, all you've got to do is take one step. So I'm going to walk on out in Jesus' name. See, I've been falsely accused, but I'm not ashamed. See, I've got faith in my God, a little faith in myself. And all I've got to do is take one step. We'll live for you. Take one step, he'll take two. No, there ain't no limit what God can do. He said, if you go, don't worry about yourself. Well, all you've got to do is take one more time. Throw your hands, sing it with me. If you take one step, he'll take two. There ain't no limit what God can do. He said, if you go, don't worry about yourself. Well, all you've got to do is take one step. Throw your hands in the air and love on him tonight, would you? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory be to God, glory be to God, glory be to God. Grab your Bibles if you would. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Remain standing, if you would, for the reading of God's word. Amen. Amen. There's a few that's praying. Normally, I wouldn't do this. I just keep singing and moving. But I feel like I need to go ahead and preach tonight. Is that okay? I'm not going to hurt anyone's feelings if I go ahead and preach tonight. Amen. Psalms chapter number 73 and verse number 25.
Psalms chapter number 73, verse number 25, and Psalms chapter number 42, verse number 1 and 2. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Psalm 73, 25, Psalms 42, 1 and 2. Listen as David begins to write the Psalms. Takes his pen in his hand. He begins to talk from his heart to the love of his life, which is his God. David said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." There is none upon earth that I want everyone to say this with me, desire beside thee. There is none that I, say it again, desire. Say it one more time, desire. Say it again, desire. I want you to say it one more time, desire beside thee. Now in Psalms chapter number 42, verse 1 and 2, David begins to explain and expound on his desire for God. I can just see David as he's taking his pen in his hand and he's wanting to just pour his heart out to the God that he loves. Or he's sitting over on the hillside and he's got his harp and he's strumming. He's got this melody in his heart. And he's trying to put words to the melody that's in his heart. That strong desire that he has in his heart for the God. And then finally he begins to put words in it. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, oh, so panteth my soul after thee, oh God. For the living God. Hallelujah. When, listen to this cry, when shall I come and appear before, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, before God. I want to open up this meeting this week on this opening night to talk to us for a few minutes on an uncommon desire. An uncommon desire. One more time, stretch your hands towards heaven. Ask the Holy Ghost to help us tonight, Father. I'm so unworthy. I'm so undeserving. God, there are men in this building tonight that could do much better job than I could at preaching and breaking the bread of life to these young people. But God, I thank you for putting me here, for giving me this opportunity. But Holy Ghost, I cannot do this without you. I'm nothing without you. I'm just a man behind this wooden podium. But Lord, I believe if you'll let the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost rest upon me and anoint my mind, take my mind, my body, my heart, my tongue, preach to me, through me, what you put in me. Holy Ghost, only do what you can do. Deal with the hearts and lives of these young men and women. God, I pray, Lord, that my prayer in this meeting tonight at the end of this Monday night of Truth Camp, Lord, that every young person will walk out of this building tonight with the testimony, I've got a desire for God like I've never had before in my life. Amen. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And everyone said amen and hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Psalms is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And it's not just because you can open up the book of Psalms and read about 15 chapters in 5 minutes because they're so short. Amen. A lot of people, when they really want to get caught up on their daily Bible reading, they go to flipping over in Psalms, and they get about 30 chapters out in about 10 minutes, and they think they got caught up. Amen. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? Is that just me? Amen. But I love the book of Psalms and reading through it. David is responsible for the majority of the book of Psalms. He took the pen in his hand and began to write out the psalm. You know what the book of Psalms is? It was their songbook. That's right. It was their songbook.
We take the hymnal and we open up and we sing songs. Ain't, amen, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. We open up the hymnal and we sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. We open up the hymnal and sing the songs. Amen. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Amen. That's our hymnal. That's our song. Amen. But when the children of Israel would gather together, amen, and they would take their songbook and open up when it come time to sing, amen, David would take the podium and he'd open up the songbook that he wrote himself, amen, and that's when he'd begin to write songs like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside this. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been times I've tried to put a melody with the song. Amen. I've tried to make a song, and I'm not a songwriter, but I've been in my prayer, and I've been, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I can't put a lyric to it. I can't put a melody to it. Amen. But David did. You want to know why? Because it was his song. It was the words that came, that was birthed on a hillside while watching his daddy's sheep. Amen. And God began to put breathe into him the words, the desire that he had for God. Are you going to help me here on this opening night? Amen. You know what I'd like to see? Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some young men and women could leave this building this week singing a song? The world can't put a melody to it. The world can't put a beat to it. You want to know why? Because it didn't come from the world's crowd, but it came straight from the throne room of God in my prayer closet with God. Can I take my time tonight? Is that okay? Amen. David begins to write. Amen. I just see him as he takes the podium and he begins to thumb through song. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures is, amen, I just see him about to sing. And David just been through hell and high water all week. David just been through the time of his life. Amen. David fought something that nobody knows about. But in the middle of it all, David got a song out of it. Let me tell you something, young people. Hey, man, you walk close enough with God. I don't care what the devil's putting you through. I don't care what life is putting you through. When in the midst of the heat of the battle, you keep your heart in tune with God, because he's going to give you a song that the world cannot. I said he's going to give you a victory that the world cannot contain. David probably took the podium, opened up the hymn, and said, folks, I want to sing to you a new song that God gave me this week. And he opened up the hymnal. Amen. To somewhere, I believe it's some, maybe 121. Amen. Where he said, I looked unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost gonna help us. Some of you young people came to youth camp this week looking for some help, looking for God to strengthen you. I come to tell you, you look up. I said, look up. I said, look up. Your help is coming. Then begin to sing another leg on that song. Amen. And tied them together because they're only a couple chapters apart anyway. When he began to take his pen and said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. You don't know what I went through this week. I would have lost my mind, but God was there. I would have gave up, but God was there. I would have threw in the towel, but God was there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been there in the last 6 months? Hallelujah. How many of you men ever been there in your walk with God? Say, Brother Steve, amen, I know you can't raise your hands because this is the week you got to act spiritual. But let me tell you, young people, the quicker you get over that and go ahead and expose yourself and say, God, I don't care what they think about me. I've got to get in the presence of the Almighty God. I don't care what anybody thinks. I just got to imagine Brother Shelton, here's one of those quiet Sunday mornings. Amen. It was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. And everyone looking at David like, what's wrong with him? Why is he so happy this morning? It's just been a normal week in my house. It's just been a normal week at my job. Come on here. But David said, you didn't live in my house. If you was living in my house this week, you'd know why I gotta praise him. If you was living in my house this week, you'd know why I'm ready to worship him. Because I done been through hell in high waters. And I know one thing I've got to get where the presence of the Lord is. Let me tell you something. David's walk with God and David's prayer time with God, God used that to pull David into the heart of God. God used those times alone on the backside of that wilderness as he was tending to his father's sheep to pull David into the heart of God. And it was through those times of direct fellowship with God that God birthed into David a desire unlike anybody else. That's why David was able to shout when nobody else wanted to shout. That's why David had a song when nobody else had a song. That's why David, when everyone was looking for him to lay down and give up and quit, but David rose up out of the dust, wiped the dust off of his pants, and said, I'm going to walk on out in Jesus' name. You want to know why? Because there was a desire on the inside of David that drove him to the limit, that drove him beyond peer pressure, that drove him beyond discouragement, that drove him beyond what hell was throwing his way, and said, I come to worship God. David said, there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. You know what David was saying? That God, you are my everything. Oh, you didn't hear me. God, you are my everything. Oh, you're about to get it. Let me say it one more time. God, you are my everything to me. You see, it's until you get to that breaking point in your life, you'll never accomplish what God sets you out to accomplish. You'll never be the man God destined you to be. You'll never be the woman God destined you to be until you can come to grips on the fact, God, you are my everything. Let me point something out to you. We want to say he's my number one. How many say he's number one to me, Brother Stephen? He's not even number one. Huh? It's going to be a long week. Brother Stephen, he's number one in my life. And I want to ask you this question. Is that all? Just number one? God's saying that's as high up the ladder that I can get in your life is just number one. Because look at this. If he's just number one, then that means at any given time during the day, number two and number three can always compete with number one.
You didn't just hear what I said, did you? Young ladies, if he's just number one, that means whatever's number two and whatever's number three at the end of the day can't compete with number one. Young fellas, if he's just number one, at the end of the day, I don't care if number two's a relationship. I don't care if number two's a career. At the end of the day, number two and number three can always compete with number one. Is anybody hearing me here tonight? So you know what God's looking for? It's some young people with that uncommon desire that said, God, you are my everything. Not just number one, but my one and only. He is my one and only. Number two and number three and number four can battle all day long with number one. But at the end of the day, he's still my one and only. When the day's over and I close the book on that chapter, God's still my one and only, because my heartthrob is not a relationship. My heartthrob's not a job or a career, but my heartthrob is God. Someone shout, he's my one and only. Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. He is my one and only. See that circle? It's me and God. You didn't hear me. See that circle? It's me and God. Nothing is allowed to crowd out me and God. There's some young ladies and you need to start drawing you a spiritual circle and tell that boyfriend of yours, you stay out of my circle. There's some young boys need to draw you a circle and say that girlfriend, stay out of my circle. This is me and God. This is my desire. This is my hunger. Somebody throw your hands in the air and say, God, stay in my circle. Stay in my circle. The Bible tells me that adversary, the devil, goes sneaking around to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. I love the way the writer wrote that, because that word may is a huge word right there. You take that word out and you just annihilated the whole concept. But when I read where it said he may devour, you ain't gonna help me here tonight, aren't you? That's okay. I'm a feeling the Holy Ghost gonna help me. Come on here. I feel like someone's gonna get a breakthrough. Come on here. What that tells me is that devil's seeking for somebody who's not guarding the circle, somebody who's not watching the circle, and he may devour. Come on here. You ain't hearing me. Remember what that tells me, that if my desire for God is where it is, and it's me and God in my circle, that devil can't touch me because of the bloodline that's drawn. There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Let me draw some comparisons just for a few minutes, and then I'm going to preach. David had a desire. Yes, he did. But so did everybody else. So did the next young man in his youth group. So did the young lady sitting across the aisle in his youth group. But there was something that divided David from even his own household, his own brothers. And God detected it. Come on here. Samuel came to Jesse's house that day. Sent of the Lord, said there, first he told him, he said, why weep for Saul? Why are you troubled for him, seeing I have rejected him from being king over? Go fill thine horn with oil. David said, God said, I'm tired of messing with common desire. I'm tired of playing games with men and women that all they have is what's common in the church. Come on here, because that common desire didn't get the job done. That common desire just didn't get the job done. Amen. Before it was said and done, amen, Saul was stripped of his anointing. Saul was stripped of his position. And Saul done nothing morally wrong. Saul just simply didn't obey God. Can I talk to you for a few minutes? What Jesus say in the New Testament? He said, if you love me. Well, some of you didn't read your Bible this week, didn't you? If you love me, keep my commandments. You know what he's saying? The greatest mission, the greatest thing in your life is to submit and obey God in all things. You want to know what drives the line between a common desire and an uncommon desire? Is that man that half-heartedly obeys, and that man that says, God, I don't care what you ask of me, I'm going to obey you. Because you see, we want to think I'm submissive. We're so ready to quote the scripture. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Boy, I'll preach right there for a while. That devil comes poking his nose around my house or around my territory and in my life, and I'm quick to quote the scripture. My Bible tells me that all I have to do is resist, and you got to run. And I stand there and I resist, and the devil goes, oh, I'm sorry. What did you say? You ain't hearing me here. Did you just tell me to go? Did you just tell me to leave you alone? Oh, you ain't hearing me here this time. And God's tapping us on the shoulder, son. Son, let's re-quote that verse. Because the power of clause 2 is in clause 1. The power of resisting the devil is in my submission to God Almighty. When I say yes, Lord, that devil's looking for a corner to run to. When I say yes, Lord, that devil starts to shake because he knows. Let me explain something to you. Okay? Listen to me. Submission is not submission until you disagree. I think I'm gonna hide. I said submission is not submission. It's not submission until you disagree. I can give my babies a candy bar and say, eat it, honey. And she'll say, gladly, Dad, because it's a candy bar. That ain't submission. Come on here. But when I'm sitting at that dinner table and I watch that kid's eyes, watch mama as she puts the spoon in the green beans and puts it on her plate, and she says, I don't like that. But when Dad says, honey, eat the green beans. And I see my baby pick the spoon up and put it to her mouth. Now that's submission. When God speaks to your heart and you say, God, I don't like it, but I'll eat it anyways. God, I don't agree with it, but my desire says I want you more than anything. Somebody throw your hands in the air and give God a praise. It's that common desire from the uncommon desire. I'm hurrying. You want to know what the word common means? And I ain't preaching you some new revelation. You can look this up in the dictionary you want. It's there. If you ain't reading out of the same dictionary, it might be worded just a little bit different, but you get the same meaning. The word common
means ordinary, usual. I mean, that'll preach right there, ordinary and usual. This brother can walk come with me, and I'm just picking on him. I know he wouldn't do this. Brother Stephen, look at my nice suit I got. I mean, I bought it just last week right before camp, man, before youth camp. Ain't this a nice gray suit? Son, that's awesome. That's wonderful. I love that suit. I got two of them just like it in my closet. I know girls, because I've been married to one for 15 years. Some of you probably went and bought you a new dress for youth camp. And when you walked into youth camp, those girls said, wow, that's a beautiful dress. Where'd you get it? Hey, man, well, I got it at Ross or Marshall's or I got it in Macy's. Someone else might walk up, oh, that is a beautiful dress. I bought one just like it last week. And just bust your bubble. Brother Stephen got a desire for God. I know we're not in competition with each other. And I'm definitely not in competition with that world out there. But let me tell you something. When I'm walking down the street or on the mall or on my job and I see a fellow Christian from another church down the street, when they look at me and they say, that man's got desire, but it's not quite like I have. Come on here. There's something about that man that draws me to him. What is it, sir? I'll tell you what it is. It's not a common desire. It's an uncommon desire. Can you say amen? Then this is the phrase. This is the phrase in the dictionary that caught my attention, that really troubled me. It said poor quality. Poor quality. You are epistles written of all men. When you walk out the doors of this church, youth camp, and you go home, and your neighbors know who your pastor is. Your neighbors know where you go to church. Those kids in those school, they know where you're going to church. They know what your church stands for. I'm going to get myself in trouble on this first night, ain't I? They know what the church stands for. They know the Bible your pastor preaches. But when they look at your life and they say, well, comparing him to his pastor, there's some poor quality there somewhere. Or am I preaching to somebody? Come on here. But when this world looks at me, they ought not see my pastor. They ought not see the church I attend, but they ought to see Jesus Christ and him crucified. I ought to be betraying the very life of Christ in my body. I ought to be betraying the very character of God. I was preaching a revival this past October. My family and I had hit the road and was gone for about 3 months. I was in Jacksonville, Florida, preaching a revival. And one afternoon, me and the pastor and his wife and our family, they wanted to take us out to dinner. So we went out to lunch that day. And then we went to the mall. We're just going to go walk the mall and browse through and just get out of the house and spend a few hours uptown and just doing whatever. So me and the pastor, we went one day with a few of our kids and the pastor's wife and my wife went another way, and we just went around hitting every suit store we could go into. He said, I like to just go in and see what kind of suits they've got, see what kind of deals they have. And so we was going in and out of suit stores. We walked into this one suit store. It didn't look like much. I didn't recognize the name. It wasn't the chain brand suit store. But I walked in, I started browsing through, and I found my coat size, and I was browsing through, and I took one off, and I put it on. And I thought, well, you know, I might ought to look at the price tag on this before I go putting one on, because ain't no sense in me trying one. Amen. If the price is too high, amen, because I can't afford no expensive suit. Amen. So I picked up the sleeve and I turned it over, and it said $5.99. I thought, nope, not for me. took that coat off, went to put it back on the hang about the time I was hanging it back up. Amen. The owner of that store, she was an Italian woman, could hardly even understand, amen, her English. I could stand her just a little. She came over there and said, "Oh, son, amen, sir, do you like the suit?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, it's a nice suit." She goes, "Oh, can you feel the quality of this suit?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I know it's a nice suit." I said, "But, ma'am, I'm sorry, so we don't go sit here and go over. You save your breath, I'll save mine." I said, "It's really out of my price range, and I really can't afford the suit anyhow. Amen. So I'm not going to try another one on because it's just out of my price range." And she said, "Well, what is your price range, sir?" I kind of smiled. I said, "You get it down to $150 and below, and we can talk some business." Come on here. She looked at me and said, "Sir, I think you're in the wrong suit store." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I believe I am." I was trying to find the pastor, and he's sitting over here hiding behind a bunch of suits, laughing his head off, about to roll in the floor. I said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry." She said, "Son, amen." She said, "Before you walk out," she said, "just take the time. Feel the quality of this suit." She said, "Just feel it with your hands." She said, "You ain't gonna buy this suit for no $150. She goes, "If you buy this suit, it'll last you for 10 years, and it'll always look like brand new." Come on here. And y'all walked out of that suit store that day thinking, "God, that's exactly the way it is in the spiritual. If I just have a common desire for God, it won't be too long. It'll be balled up and look like it's ready to go to the Goodwill. But if I get an uncommon desire for God, it'll last me through my storm. It'll last me through my troubles. It'll last me through my trials. Because my desire is more than common. It's an uncommon desire." You want to know what the word uncommon means? Rare. Something that's unusual, remarkable, and unlike most others. Can I preach to you for a little bit here tonight? My brother-in-law, he's a painter. He's painting one day. You know how painters are. I mean, they wear their painting clothes is normally white. And I mean, when you get done spraying, puts a mask on, and the only skin that's showing is his goggles right here. Amen. From where he was spraying all day. Hair misted with overspray. His hands misted with overspray. Clothes misted with overspray. His shoes are covered with drops of paint because that's his painting. That's what he works in. He walked into a Taco Bell one day, and he was fixing to order him something to eat. He ordered, and he stood back, and he was waiting on his order. A woman walked up to him and said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, you sure can." She said, "Are you a preacher of the gospel?" He said, "Well, yes, ma'am, I am. But could you please tell me what made you notice? Because I'm in my work clothes." She said, "Sir, it wasn't your clothes. It was the glow on your face. It was the atmosphere that you walked in here with. That's the kind of desire I'm talking about. That's the kind of move of God I'm talking about. That's the kind of young people God's wanting to raise in these last days. Is there a young person out there that'll stand up, throw your hands in the air, and say, 'God, give me an uncommon desire?'" I'm about to close. But I need some help. Brother Lucas Sweeney, did he step out? Brother, you right there. Is it Brother Joel? Is that your name? Come on up here. I need your help. Come here, Brother Joey. Stephen, come here. Pastor Barley, come here. Come here, brother. Son, you want to help me? Come here. You come right over here. I want you to stand right here. Stephen, come here. Stand right here. You stand right here. Brother, you come stand right there. Brother, I want you to stand up on that platform for me. Just stand there and face me. Been talking to you about common and uncommon desire. Let me tell you something. The devil's going to fight your desire for him every step of the way. guaranteed, mark it down in your little book and put a date behind side it, and I'll sign it where you put it. The devil's gonna fight everything you get in youth camp. I don't care how spiritual you get. I don't care how much you shout and dance. I don't care the breakthrough the Holy Ghost brings you. That devil's gonna fight you. But let me tell you something. He's gonna fight. Guess what he's going to fight? He's going to fight your desire. You want to know why? Because it's desire that drives a man. It's desire that pushes a man. It's desire that pushes a young person to serve him. It's not the song. It's not the beat of the drums. But it's a desire in my heart that says, God, I got to get closer. I got to get close to you. He's going to fight your desire. So guess what? You're going to go home. And boy, it's going to be wonderful. We're ready for revival. Pastor, can we have a youth revival? Yes, go ahead. I mean, we don't need a preacher. We'll just sing and preach ourselves. Don't bother calling in an evangelist. We don't need one. We already got a desire for God. Let's hit the streets. Let's invite somebody to the house of God, because your desire is strong. He's not going to fight the Holy Ghost in your life. He's going to fight your desire for it. He's not going to fight your passion for souls. He's going to fight your desire to win souls. He's after you. Because you want to know why? He's not going to fight your song, girls. He's going to fight your desire to sing that song. Boys, he's not going to fight your message. He's going to fight your passion and your desire to preach the message God birthed in your heart. You want to know why? God don't anoint talent. God don't anoint gifts. God don't anoint ability. He's not looking for ability. He's not looking for, if he was looking for gifts, abilities, and talents, he would have walked way around this country, boy. But there's one thing God will always anoint, and that's desire. Oh, you hear me while I preach? If you can get what Brother Stephen's preaching to you tonight, we can just go ahead and have church the rest of the week. Come on, that's why I wanted to preach this from the very get-go. You ain't never going to get anywhere with God until you allow God to put a desire. Oh, somebody help me right here. You'll never get filled with the Holy Ghost until you desire that Holy Ghost. You'll never be called to the ministry until you desire to do something for God. So the devil's going to fight your desire. So you're going to take off in life. About the time you get your momentum up, where did he come from? I shouted over top of him at youth camp, what are you doing staring me in the face? Come on here. I conquered you on Monday night of camp meeting. What are you doing back in my life? Come on here. And that little problem, that little addiction, that little mind game that the devil been playing on you, he's going to look at you and say, I don't care about what you shouted over. I'm here to fight your desire now. I know you got over your addiction, but I come to fight your desire to stay saved. I come to fight your desire to stay unaddicted. I come to fight your desire to stay pure before God. So guess what? We have to fight. That's why Paul said, take unto you the whole armor of God. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. The battle's over, so it's time to fight. Just grab me and start pulling on me. So I'm out here and I'm fighting. Lord, you're going to have to help me, because the thing that I had victory over on Monday night, I can't mean. Lord, it's grabbed a hold of me again. God, I don't desire it, but one thing I've realized, Lord, it's not fighting my addiction any longer. It's trying to pull my desire down for you. It's trying to take my desire. Somebody help me right here. Come on here. And hallelujah. And you know what? I muster up enough strength, and I say, you ain't getting my desire. Get out of the way, devil. I'm going to shout some victory because I still have my desire. I still have my breakthrough. And another week or two goes by, and again, my desire is challenged. And another one grabs me, and I'm trying to serve God. I want to pray. I want to get up this morning so bad, but I'm so tired. I want to get to prayer meeting, but my boss kept me too long at work. And so now he's messing with my desire. But I come to ask you this question. Is your desire common or is it uncommon? Because the uncommon desire runs in with everything it's got. And I'm going to fight. But sooner or later, that common desire is going to go down. And the common desire stands up and puts his head down and says, oh God, I must not have got victory at Truth Camp this year. Come on here. And you want to know why you went down so easy? And you ain't helping me here, are you? You're getting quiet on me here tonight, I can already tell. But I feel the Holy Ghost going to grab somebody by the back of the neck and say, hold on, sir. Hold on, young lady. You didn't come away with a common desire. Get up and fight because the desire that you have. And so you know what the uncommon desire does? Get yourself up. Greater is he that's in you. Get out of my house. I gotta fight. I got an uncommon. Is anybody gonna help me here? Is there anybody with an uncommon desire? Come on, uncommon desire. Come on, uncommon desire. But don't think for a minute. Woo, you helping me here, aren't you? Because that 45 minutes of sleep last night just caught up with me. But I feel the Holy Ghost going to help me push this through one more time. I feel some young people going to walk away from here with an uncommon desire. This one's much bigger than I am. I think I'll just try to go around it. Come on here. And now I start reasoning. I'll reason my way around this one. Hey, bud. Let's meet on some common ground. I'm wanting to get over there. And you don't want me to go over there. Because there's a desire in me that you're trying to stop. I done beat three of them. And I know the game you're trying to play. And I'm too tired. I'm beginning to think it just ain't quite worth it. But I don't want to lose out with God. I still want to worship. I still want to sing in that choir. I want to dance when I feel the Holy Ghost moving. I want to speak in tongues when the Holy Ghost comes by. Oh, you ain't helping me here. I want the outward. But I'm not quite sure if the inward's worth the struggle. But don't fall out with me here. Come on here. Your outward experience is only as strong as your inward experience with God. Your outward desire is only as strong as that inward desire. Let's talk this out. And about the time I'm ready to give a little, if he'll give a little, God begins to prick my heart. Let me tell you something. God will never let you walk around him without stepping around grace and mercy first. He'll never let you lay something down you should never lay down without stepping around conviction first. He'll see to it. He puts that man of God in that platform on Sunday morning and drill you right between the eyes before he lets you walk out that door compromising your experience with God. And so all of a sudden, my desire kicks back in. And I slap myself in the head and I say, my God, what was I about to do? What was I thinking? I said, get out of my way, devil. I said, get out of my way, devil. God, I can't do it on my own. My desire's there, but I can't handle this one on my own. You begin to throw your hands in the air and say, Jesus, if that Holy Ghost Comforter that you promised me has the power that you told me he had, I need some help right here. I want somebody to throw your hands in the air and say, Holy Ghost, I gotta have you. Holy Ghost, I've gotta have you. I'm reminded, but can I preach this for 3 more minutes? Give me 3 more minutes. I'm reminded of David when he was in the battle with one of Goliath's brothers. The Bible said that David was about to faint, and that giant saw the weakness in David, and he remembered, you're the one that put a stone between my brother's eyes. You're the one that beat my brother at youth camp last night. I wasn't there, and now you're going to have to fight me. Come on here, you're going to help me, aren't you? And the Bible said that that giant was about to overtake him. Oh, but Abishai caught David out of the corner of his eye. That's my king. That's the man I'm supposed to be fighting for. That's the man I sent to protect. That's the man I'm supposed to oversee. And so Abishai steps in between David and the giant. Stay right there. You want to know what the word Abishai means? A gift from God. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said Abishai means a gift from God. About the time you thought the devil was over going to take you, the Holy Ghost said, get out of my way, this is my battle. Get out of my way, this is my battle. You know what the Holy Ghost is going to say? Desire when you're flat drained. Desire when you push with everything you've had. Desire when the devil's beat you to the floor. That's when the Holy Ghost is going to say, now let me fight a while. Now let me fight a while. I used to see David grabbing on the coat of the Holy Ghost. And Abishai flings that giant to the side. Just push him. Now take me. Come on here. And then I can hear David say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. You ain't hearing what I'm saying. You know what the dove was a representation in the New Testament? The Holy Ghost. John said, all of a sudden, I saw the heavens open up and that dove. And David cried out, lead me to the rock that's higher than I am. Take me up here. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but the Holy Ghost is saying, come on, desire. We're going high. We're going higher. We're going to climb. Somebody have church with me. Somebody give God some praise. Brother Stephen, I got a desire that's greater. I didn't even get to Psalms 42. That's okay. But he said, you're the only one I desire. You want to know why? Because David said, when I can't preach my way out, I danced before the Lord when the ark come by. But when I can't dance my way out, when I can't speak in tongues my way out, there's one thing that's going to grab a hold of me, and that's my desire. And say, I don't care if you don't have a message. I don't care if you can't say, you're coming out of this. You are going to be victorious. You are going to be a victorious Christian. Raise your hands and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Come on, young people, throw your hands in the air. Say, God, give me an uncommon desire. Give me an uncommon desire. Sister, get ready to sing for me. I'm going to save my voice for singing tomorrow night, if that's okay. I feel the Holy Ghost pulling on some hearts. God's saying, yeah. Raise your hands, young people, all over this building. God is seeking for desire tonight. Brother Stephen, I've got a gift. I can sing like a mockingbird. God's saying, that's not what I'm looking for. I can find any mockingbird to sing for me, but there's not a mockingbird that can sing like desire can. There's not a mockingbird that can sing as pretty in the ears of God. Has a heart that said, has a heart been if out to the water brooks? My heart's desire is for God. I want some young men and some women to strip those pews. I want you to run to this altar and say, God, give me a desire for you. I'm not worried about a ministry. I'm not worried about a message. I'm not worried about a song. But God, I want a desire. I want to leave this place with a desire. Because your desire is what's going to carry you through the next 3 months following youth camp. It's your desire.